the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue through the 40 days of Lent, remembering Jesus' temptation by the devil in the wilderness, where he fasted and overcame the devil's temptations, as last week we considered that Jesus is the new and the second Adam, who has come to fulfill the law in our place and undo the curse of the first Adam. As Jesus is the second Adam, today we learn that Jesus is also the true temple, because the old temple is gone. When I went to the Holy Land in 1999, and we went up to Jerusalem to the Temple Mount, you know that there at the Temple Mount, there is now a Muslim mosque on the site of the original Jewish temple. That hill is called Mount Moriah. It was the place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, but the Lord stopped him and said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. He provided the lamb for the sacrifice. It's that mount that's also called Mount Zion, where David built his capital city of Jerusalem. And it's that mount where David's son Solomon built the glorious temple, where was placed the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, where the blood would be sprinkled for the atonement of the people. Right near that hill was Mount Calvary, where Christ, the true Passover lamb, died, who was the fulfillment of all the sacrifices of the old covenant. And in his death as the Passover lamb, as our sacrifice and high priest, his body is our temple. Jesus foretold that the actual building of the temple would be torn down brick by brick. And that happened when the Romans came and took the entire thing down, and it's still gone, never to be rebuilt. The temple is gone because all we need is Jesus. He is God's temple and presence among us. So today we consider Jesus' body is God's heavenly temple, and in it he cleansed the earthly temple to be his Father's house of prayer. And we will first look at the earthly temple of Jerusalem, then the heavenly temple of Jesus' body, and finally the eternal temple of the church, which is the body of Christ. First, the earthly temple of Jerusalem. It was a time of the Passover of the Jews, when the Passover lambs were offered and sacrificed. And now Jesus, the true Passover lamb, comes up to Jerusalem. The true Passover lamb will himself be sacrificed upon the cross. And as he comes up to the temple, he comes into the temple courts. Now you know that the original temple, the glorious temple, was built by Solomon. And then after the Babylonian captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple was rebuilt. And then in the time of Jesus, the Herods had begun a remodeling project on the temple that was still going on. And that's the temple Jesus would have seen. And around the proper temple were the courts where people could pray. You had the temple in the middle, and around the temple on the pavement was acres and acres, maybe even 20 acres of pavement. It was stone pavement put down where thousands of people could pray around the temple as the priests offered the sacrifices in the temple. And you had the court for the women to pray. You had the court for the Jewish men in which they could pray. And you had the court for the Gentiles, the outer court, where Gentiles who came to understand that the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the only true God who was a light for all the nations, and the Gentiles too could come into the Gentile courts and pray. It was in these Gentile courts that Jesus finds the money changers. Now, Jewish people, when they came to the temple, would exchange their pagan money for the temple currency, and they would also bring the oxen and the sheep and pigeons for the offerings. They should have been purchasing these out in the marketplace, but the court of the Gentiles had been set up as a marketplace, and instead of it being a place of prayer for the Gentiles, you could hear animals like you're in the barnyard and the clinking of coins. This merchandising was not to go on in this place of prayer. The court of the Gentiles was being desecrated, and Jesus would have nothing of it. He takes a whip of cords and he drives the animals out of the temple. You can see him pouring out all the coins as they clang on the pavement. And then he even overturns the tables, drives them out, and says, "This is my Father's house of prayer." Zeal for his Father's house consumed Jesus. The Son came to the temple to cleanse it for his Father. This earthly temple where there was the Holy of Holies and the veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies would soon experience something else from Jesus. On Good Friday, when Christ was crucified, he said, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." There was an earthquake, and the veil of the curtain tore in two, right down the middle. So you could see from the holy place into the Holy of Holies, atonement had been made. The payment was in full. The mediator and intercessor Christ has now opened the way into the presence of God through his own body and blood. And Jesus had foretold that one day, as a sign of the end times, the temple would all be torn down, and in 70 AD, that's exactly what happened. The Romans came into Jerusalem, defeated them, and took the temple down brick by brick, stone by stone, flattened it, hauled the gold away, hauled the gold, the candlesticks away, and Josephus in the book The Antiquities was an eyewitness of this destruction by the Romans in 70 AD. The earthly temple of Jerusalem is gone, flattened, never to be seen again. This is why, secondly, we have the heavenly temple in Jesus' own body. And this is the most important import of this text. Because the Jews say, "What sign do you have that you have the power to do this, Jesus? Why can you do this and drive the money changers out?" And Jesus gives a cryptic answer: "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." He, of course, is speaking about the fact that they were about to arrest Jesus, beat him, whip him, crown him with thorns, nail him to a cross, and bury him. They would destroy the temple of his body. But then on the third day, he will raise it up in his glorious resurrection. Now the Jews think he's talking about the building. So they say 46 years it took to build this, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? They didn't realize that the earthly temple was just a type of the heavenly temple of Christ. He was speaking the temple of his body. And oh, how his body would be our temple, crucified in our place and raised from the dead. Jesus bore our punishment in his body upon the tree. By the blood that came from his body, the redemption price has been paid in full. The work is finished in the work of his body, once for all time. The crucifix shows the one sacrifice that was made. And no more sacrifices can be made. The sacrifice is complete. The disciples remembered after Jesus was raised from the dead what Jesus had said. They believed the scripture and the spoken words of Jesus. Watch during Lent and Holy Week the movement of Jesus' body. Watch the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Watch where his body goes. On Palm Sunday, watch his body as it comes in to Jerusalem upon a donkey as they say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Watch his body as he comes in and cleanses the temple. It's a place of prayer. watch his body. As on Tuesday and Wednesday in the temple courts, he teaches the people in the last week of his life before his resurrection. Watch his body on Maundy Thursday as he gets on his knees and washes their feet and institutes Holy Communion and gets on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweats drops of blood that came from his body. And watch his body on Good Friday, his trial before Pontius Pilate, the scourging by the soldiers, the suffering and the crucifixion by nails in his body. Watch his body taken down from the cross, resting in the tomb on Holy Saturday, and see his body on Easter Sunday, coming forth glorious from the tomb, the resurrection and the life, who has defeated sin and death and hell. All in the body of Christ, who is the true heavenly temple. If the earthly temple is gone, if Jesus' body is the true heavenly temple, there is a third aspect to the temple, the eternal temple of the church, the body of Christ. If the church is the body of Christ, which it is, and that Jesus is the head of the church, then God's true temple now in the body of Christ is those Christians through all time, the saints, incorporated into the body of Christ by water and word and holy baptism, preaching and teaching of God's word to his holy people, the words of absolution that your sins are forgiven, and the body and blood under the bread and wine in Holy Communion for his church. The church is now the body of Christ, who proclaims law and gospel to the world so people could be saved from hell and brought to heaven. The church is the body of Christ, does proclaim the law. You heard the Ten Commandments today in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are summarized by the first and second table of the law. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Commandments 1, 2, and 3 are the first table of the law. Know the gods before him, do not take his name in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Love the Lord your God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Commandments 4 through 10, love your neighbor as yourself. Honor your parents, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and do not covet. Love your neighbor as yourself. But we don't keep these laws. We break them. And so we know there's three uses for the Ten Commandments. The first is a curb. We have the Ten Commandments as a curb on society, so we have laws to protect us. And then there's the use of a mirror. We look at the law and we see that we've broken it, that we cannot boast before God because we've broken all the commandments of God. And thirdly, it's a guide in our life as Christians whose sins are forgiven. In the sanctified life, the law is a guide how we live to please our Lord. The law is proclaimed by the church, and so is the gospel that Paul proclaimed in the epistle. The word of the cross, which is the power and wisdom of God, Christ crucified, is foolish and weak to the unbelieving world, and they laugh at it. But God chose, he says, the low, despised, and shameful things, our Lord Jesus Christ, hanging upon the cross, to bring the world to nothing. The world will be silenced before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will return in glory, showing the marks and the price that he paid. We can come into the presence of God in the body of Christ because of what Jesus did. And Paul says, Christ Jesus is our life, physical life, spiritual life, eternal life. Christ Jesus is our wisdom. You are wise because Christ gives you wisdom. Christ Jesus is our righteousness, our justification, in whom we are declared holy and without blemish. Christ Jesus is our sanctification, the holiness of our lives in thought, word, and deed that reflect who we are in Christ. Christ Jesus is our redemption, bought by the blood of Christ that came from his body, so that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are free to be Christ's servants all the days of our life. So in conclusion, as we draw near to Holy Week, during which this cleansing of the temple happened, we see that the true temple and place to meet God is in the person of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen, who is for us the power and wisdom of God, who comes to us every week in word and sacrament, incorporated into the body of Christ. Remember what St. Paul said about the true temple? Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Therefore, glorify God with that body. During this Lenten season, we rejoice that Jesus is not only the second Adam and the substitute, but Jesus is also the true temple of God's presence among us. And we are the body of Christ, the temple of God. May this fill us with joy and willingness to serve our Lord Jesus all the days of our lives. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.